Good morrow, and welcome back to the realm. I am epic fantasy author JV Hillier, your friendly neighborhood scribe, and for those of you marking your first adventure into my realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis, and each of those creatives specialize in a plethora of different art forms. And today, we also have a very special guest that I'll get to in a minute, but as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com. Or go ahead and follow me at JV Hilliard Books on X, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Or look for me just as JV Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. So as we reach our witching hour here, I want to thank our longtime sponsor, Altered Reality Magazine. If you haven't checked it out yet, go to www.alteredrealitymag.com. And you'll find that it's a home for speculative fiction and speculative poetry. So if you're a fan like I am of fantasy adventure or science fiction, or you like to read about monsters and horror and fun things like that, like we all do, you'll find that there, and you'll find it as a portal for publication for a number of first-time authors, as well as a place where many esteemed and award-winning authors come to share in a much larger community. So go check it out at alteredrealitymag.com. And today we are going to be chronicling the adventures of C.R. Drakelock. C.R., welcome to the realm, and let's get started. You tell the listeners a little bit about you and what you do.
Thanks for having me. I'm from like the Ozarks, and I write fantasy fiction, which focuses a lot around sort of a reworked dystopian era from kind of modern back into fantasy with a lot of anthro characters.
Well, so explain to everybody what anthro characters means. I think many of us in the fantasy world get it, but for those that are listening that may not be familiar with it, drop into that just a little bit.
Okay. For me, anthropomorphic comes from a cross of the word Anthropocene, meaning humanized. So it's animals that have been reworked into sort of humanized features. So they might wear clothing or speak language or have their own society or civilization.
Great. And so you launched not too long ago, Dawn of Beasts. Excuse me, Dawn of Beasts, World of Tooth and Claw. Tell us a little bit about the adventure there and what you hope readers can take from it.
Yeah, I spent a long time building the world for it and had a lot of fun with it. Dawn of Beasts, World of Tooth and Claw, in essence, is the story of an animal folk that have rebuilt a world after humans have gone extinct. And it's specifically the story of Donovan Dashraft, who, after leaving home with his sister, because he kind of grew bored of the everyday life there, he got caught up in a quest to find a treasure that it hasn't been found by treasure hunters in over 1,100 years, but it's a story of him finding not only himself, but discovering friends, family, and the essence of it was for me to try and create characters that, you know, someone could connect with, that they could say, you know, that's me, that's what I'm going through.
So you, what inspired the novel, and can we expect more? Is it going to be a series, or is this a standalone? Tell us a little bit about what inspired it.
What originally inspired the novel was reading Brian Jake's Rackety Tam at the same time that I was watching a show about pine martens, and As I had almost finished the book, I told myself, you know, I think I could do something like this. And originally, it was just a challenge to myself to see could I do this. And yeah, it is intended to be a series. I am currently working on the second one, which is Garden of the Black Dahlia, and that one is nearing completion.
Let's talk about this, because you mentioned a little earlier about how much world building goes into that. I think you and I, as fantasy authors, maybe in different subgenres, but in the cut from the same cloth, a lot of that, you know, you have to add some level of reality to world building to keep it grounded in realism so that readers can understand what you're doing. But you've got free rein, you know, to make it whatever you want. Tell us about your process. When you built the world here for Dawn of Beasts, and what you plan on using it for. I mean, it sounds to me like the series is going to be, at least two books. Do you plan on making it a trilogy, et cetera? But, you know, in that world building, tell us a little bit about the process and you know, what it's like to be in that world.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with what you said, that you have free reign, but there has to be some reality to it. For example, when I did the scene of the ship they're on crossing from one to the other, I had to do research on, you know, what were ship parts called and things like that. And you know, I did research on different political types when I was creating their political structures. So there's absolutely some grounding of reality even though we call it, you know, creating fantasy.
So, you know, where did the inspiration for the world come from? Were you like a Dungeons and Dragons guy? I know that you sort of like alternative history mixed with, the fantasy world stuff. Did you ever take inspiration from role-playing games, movies, video games, that kind of stuff? Or was this stuff that was just rattling around in your head and you're like, I got to get it out on paper?
some of it was rattling around in my head.
There you go. There you go. We're all insane that way, man. I knew I'd get that out of you.
Some was from movies. Some was from music I listened to. I listened to a lot of Clamavi de Profundis on YouTube, which he is amazing at writing fantasy themed music. He's done a lot of renditions on Lord of the Rings songs, and he did an entire series of songs based on his own storyline of dwarves and whatever. So he's great for giving and fantasy themed inspiration.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite, you know, fantasy author that you would liken yourself to most?
I think a lot of initial inspiration came from Tolkien, Brooks, and C.S. Lewis.
When you say Brooks, I assume Terry Brooks.
Terry Brooks. Yeah. That's what I meant. Those three were major inspiration for me getting started and the style I wanted to write in.
I get you. And did you go to school for writing or English or anything like this? Or is this something you picked up as like a side hustle?
I graduated with an associate's in journalism from a local community college, and I graduated with a bachelor's in English from University of Phoenix. So I not only have studied English and American literature and folklore, but during that time at University of Phoenix, I also did a focused study in ethnic cultures. So I have a background in that as well.
Let's talk about some of your characters then, because I find it interesting. Many authors, I always tease that, you know, there's that underlying sort of mantra that you write what you know.
Yeah.
And, your characters here, you know, what kind of inspiration did you have for them? Let's talk about your main characters for a few minutes here and give a sense of the plot of the book. But also, you know, did you find inspiration for those characters from real life, from people that you know, from things that you've read, all those kind of things? Because I think a lot of our listeners are not just readers or other creatives, but they're also authors. Many of them have. And so this is, you know, a kind of a way of giving away maybe a little, you know, of your own homebrew secrets and how you started and built the realm. But let them get a peek behind the curtain and learn a little bit more about how you created your characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Donovan is very much, he plays out of my, the curiosity for knowledge and the love of history and learning and all those things that I've always carried within myself. And I don't know, I always had very loving and nurturing parents, so that sense of nurturing and loving that I grew up with, his sister very much embodies that, his sister Valerisa. So I kind of wanted to create a dynamic there where they play off each other very well.
When you wrote the novel, and you said it took you some time to do it.
Yeah, it took me a few years to do it.
And this is your first ever book, so I'm sure it's going to take a little longer than. And now that you're on book two, you know, has that pace quickened for you, or is it something that?
Yeah, it's quickened quite a bit.
Yeah. So what's the goal here? I mean, is the goal to, you know, finish? Are we looking at a series that's going to be a duology, a trilogy, a quadrilogy?
Quadrilogy, probably for my first series.
Good. And is the idea, like, let's talk a little bit about your publishing. You're independent, I'm assuming?
Well, I started out independent on Amazon, and I'm still publishing on Amazon, but I have Michael Evan representing me, and I don't know what I'd do without him because he's the one who gets me all these slots and actually got me the ball rolling for me.
Well, let's talk about that then. Is the goal here, do you eventually want to find an agent and go the traditional publishing route, or do you find yourself better suited for independent publishing? And, you know, I know there's you know, blessings and curses to both. And I'm just curious as to why you chose to go this way, and or is this just a starter, you know, kind of a stepping stone, and you're looking to become traditionally published?
I'll be honest. So it really was about the money when I got started with the independent publishing, because I didn't have the financial means to go hybrid or traditional.
So is that the goal, though, for you longer term, now that people have started to read, you're building your readership, or is it, you know, do you enjoy independent publishing? What kind of?
I enjoy doing Amazon. I enjoy the independent publishing for now, at least.
Well, let me ask you this question, because a lot of our listeners, as I mentioned earlier, are also authors or potential authors.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to ask you to give them a couple of pieces of advice. The first is, what was the most difficult thing for you to do, and why was it so difficult? And maybe give some advice on how you overcame that.
The most difficult thing for me to do was actually to come up with a beginning and an end for the story. Because
plotting,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, plotting. Because I've tried like the, you know, structure that they teach you in school, and that never worked for me. I'm one of these people where it flows in my head, and I just write down whatever flows in my head. So I
gotcha.
Yeah. So even I don't know what's going to happen next. And I like it that way, because if it's surprising me, then I know it's going to surprise the reader.
Yeah. Do you, I was going to ask that question then. I mean, is it something where you find yourself being more of a plotter, or are you one of those pantsers? I am not a pantser, man. I can't write I have to plot everything before I start to write. And then there are others, which it sounds like you might fall into this category a little bit more than I do, which is, you know, you can just sort of start to write. Do you find yourself being more of a, you know, writing by the seat of your pants, kind of a pantser, or you know, am I mischaracterizing you?
No, I'm definitely more of a pantser. But like when I'm writing dialogue, I can sort of fit myself into the personality of that character that I'm writing as. So I can shift from personality to personality, back and forth.
I got you. Well, look, we're coming to the end of our show, and I do this with all of our guests. I run you through a little bit of a lightning round. We have some fun with it. So let me, if you're ready for it, I'll throw some fun questions at you. We can go from there.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cool. First question. You have the ability to invite an author, dead or alive, to lunch. Who would that author be, and why would you invite them?
I would just say Tolkien, because I think it would be interesting not only to discuss our literary points of view, but I think it would be interesting to debate the spiritual points of view.
Interesting. So, next question. As an indie author, what is the best money you've ever spent, and what is the worst money you've ever spent?
I think best money I ever spent is the jacket I used for my performances like these. Worst money I ever spent, It might be the chair that broke down on me within a few months.
Well, we've all had bad spends, so don't worry about it. But that's funny, and it's a good piece of. Hey, look, if you're going to write, you got to be comfortable. I get that. Last question. So there's a mythical library that is burning, and you rush in to help, but you can only save one book, and that book cannot be yours. What book do you save, and why?
I think it would have to be the Odyssey, because
you're going classic, huh?
Yeah, because that was one of the first stories I can think of that really got me hooked on adventure stories and quests and all that different stuff.
CR, before I let you off the air, let everybody know how they can find you, follow you on social media, and buy your books.
You can find me on Amazon. The book is Dawn of Beasts, World of Tooth and Claw. You can find me on Facebook under Christopher Riddle, or you can find me on Instagram under Wordweaver CR.
Well, Chris / CR, thanks again for coming on. Appreciate it. And you know, when book number two comes out, let us know. We'll have you back on.
Okay.
Well, look, thank you, CR, for coming on the show today. We appreciate that. And for our sponsor today, Altered Reality Magazine, thanks again for your help. And for our followers out there, thanks again for lending us your ear tonight. And until next time, I am JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you.